afternoon, everyone. Let's call to order the Ways and Means Committee of the City of Isle Palms to meeting to order and acknowledge that the present public has been duly notified of the meeting according to the Freedom of Information Act. Next, we'll do an approval of previous meeting's minutes. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any changes, additions, deletions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any against? Motion passes. Citizens' comments? Anyone have any citizens' comments? Okay. Then we'll go right into the financial statements presented by City Treasurer Debbie Soakes.
Good evening. Marie tells me I need to speak up, so I'll do my best. We have the September financial statements to review.
Would you talk to them about that thing you showed me?
I sure will.
Up front. You know, on the budget.
What the chairman is referring to is a typo on this cover sheet. The revenue box, bottom left-hand corner, the second column says FY18 budget. That should be the FY19 budget. And I just double-checked through the hard copy, and it is, in fact, the numbers for the FY19 budget.
Thank you.
So we're one quarter into the fiscal year. The target would be 25%. General fund revenues are at 13%, which would be normal given the way our revenues flow. Expenditures are at 23%, which is about the same place we were last year at this time. So expenditures are performing as we would expect as well. General fund revenues, property taxes, I think tax bills just went out this month, so we will start seeing some more significant revenues from property taxes in the next few months. Business licenses, rental licenses continue to perform very well. Rental licenses in particular are already above budget and 24% above last year. Building permits at 77,000, parking at 301,000, and all other, which would include things like rec, instructor fees, program fees, and court revenues are all included in cash balances. We're at 16 million and change total. All the city's funds, 2.3 million, or 20% of general fund expenses in the general fund. Capital projects fund has 2.7 million, disaster recovery 2.2. And tourism funds in total by $5 million. Any questions? Yes, ma'am.
Does the building permit line item include the building permit for the hotel?
It would if it has been issued.
Has not.
No? Okay, and it's still that high. Okay. Wow. Thank you.
Anything else? One thing I would like to mention before I forget is you might have seen in the news that the state has announced that they will pick up the 25% local share of Hurricane Irma projects.
Irma. Okay.
So that means $526,000 to the city.
Wow.
Because $425,000 relates to sand. You know, they paid we got the pretty big chunk of change federal money on added to the beach project because we could prove that the city lost how much sand due to Irma. So that is really good news. That will allow us to completely pay back the capital projects fund, which you'll recall did a short-term loan to the beach restoration fund in order to make the project happen. We knew we would have some FEMA money coming in, but now we're getting even more than we expected. So we'll be able to pay back the capital projects fund in total and have a little over $200,000 remaining that will then be able to be transferred into the beach preservation fee to offset the funding that it provided. So all that is good news.
Wow. Really good news.
need to mention that this money will, is FY '18 money. So it has been accrued into FY '18, and will be presented as such in the audit financial statements. The audit is going well. They did 2 weeks' worth of field work here. They are working from their office, I know, because I've received a lot of emails from them today. But we're hoping to wrap that up, and they will present the financial statements, the audited financial statements, at the November meeting. That's the goal, and I think we'll be able to achieve that. That will also include the single audit, which you'll recall the city has to have because of receiving more than $750,000 worth of federal money during the fiscal year. So they're doing that work as well.
What firm is doing our audit this year, I can't remember?
McKay Kitty. They are a local Mount Pleasant firm. And this is the third year? Okay, tourism funds, I just included ones where we had activity. Municipal accommodations fee. You can see, last month, if you'll recall, we talked about the apparent anomaly in the numbers between FY '18 and FY '19. Come to find out, the problem was in FY '18, there's a timing difference between July and August. So there's a double up of a significant taxpayer in August. I'll adjust the schedule for next month to smooth it out, so that the difference will be as noticeable. And the total, it's again a timing difference, so over the span of the year. But there is no money left, things left. Hospitality taxes look a little low for September compared to the prior year. There is a delinquent payment that we're working on that we know will come in. Beach preservation fee is a mirror of the municipal accommodations tax. Your local auction sales tax, we've received the monthly payment for August, and it looks favorable to the prior year. So all these schedules indicate a healthy economy on the island, which is Next schedule is the parking summary. Just trying, $588,000 total collected via the kiosks in the front beach, both lot and on the street. We continue to see the decline in the dollars associated with the lots. But we know why that is. The drainage worksheet, so we did some work on that, on this one this month, just to make sure that the contingency was properly stated, since we have some discussion, I believe, further on the agenda. You can see on the first page, so I'm on page 7 of your packet. 6 or 7?
13. So right after the schedule of the parking revenue, that's where the parking worksheet is.
Is everybody there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the original contingency on this project was figured at 15% of the construction bid received. So that was $357,000. We've got three change orders that had money associated with them, so you can see those deducted. So there's $308,000 worth of contingency left after the change orders, and then the legal expenses are taken out of that money or that pool, so that at the end, as of right now, we have $294,000 worth of contingency available. Over here to the left-hand side, this project funding box has been expanded to show an update of all the funding sources, how the spending has spread through the years, which you can see we've been working on this project since FY 12. and then how I think the reserve balance will play out. So we'll have to, I think, use a little bit of the general drainage reserve, but in previous renditions of the schedule, we thought we would have to use all of that and still need some more. But now, based on the use of the budgeted use of municipal accommodations tax money and the grants that we feel like we're going to receive, I think we can do the project even if we have to spend every dollar of the contingency and only go into the drainage reserve by $267,000.
What funds the reserve?
So over time, that general drainage reserve has been, you know, we have that general drainage contingency that we put in the budget every year. It's changed. It was, I can't even remember, but it's been increasing over time. And if that money does not get spent, it's been rolled into this general drainage reserve.
Isn't that what pays for EDs?
Right.
Right. So that's same fund.
The EDs budget and actual are pretty
right.
close.
But I mean, I'm just, it's that same,
that's
same pond of money.
Left.
Pond. Nice term. Lagoon.
Any questions?
Yeah, I just had one question. McKay Kitty's also doing the agreed upon procedures of financial operations at the Alphonse Marina, but we don't have an engagement letter from them as of yet, correct?
Right. So the way that we determined that would work, and we had a meeting, the chairman, Desiree and I, and the McKay Kitty folks, and we determined the best way to proceed was for McKay Kitty to reach out to each of the marina tenants and arrange a meeting, like a pre-meeting, so that they could get an understanding of how each business, you know, the number of transactions, the kind of bookkeeping they had, what kind of financial systems they used, so that McKay Kitty could then make an educated decisions about scope to give us the level of assurance that we feel like council wants. So that's where it is right now. Those meetings are happening. I suspect that when those meetings conclude, and McKay Kitty has some time to do some work on scope, then we will get an engagement letter that we'll be able to share with y'all and make sure everybody's happy with before we move forward.
For the people that somebody may not know what engagement letter is, would you explain that briefly?
So it's just, we have an engagement letter for the financial statement audit. Anytime we do, they do work for us, the engagement letter kind of lays out what that work is going to be, so that there are no questions about what's going to be tested and what level of reporting they're going
to. And we have to sign it and agree upon, so we know what the procedures are done,
right,
or being done. Very good. Thank you very much. Any other questions for the treasurer? There being none, we'll go on to old business. There is none. At this time, I'd like to suspend the rules of order and go into executive session to discuss financial contracts and matters.
Is that a motion?
Yes, that's a motion.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Should we go?
So, Marie.
Oh. Nice try, Doug.
So that's what this is about.
That's
what
this is about. You did. I don't blame him.
Okay, solid light.
Cool.
Thanks, everybody. Okay, executive session, and the committee didn't take any action on the matters discussed. And so we're now back in open session. And the new business, there's authorization of a survey and appraisal of the structure at 1100 Palm Boulevard as defined by the physical footprint and 5 feet of steps in such a way that will allow for the conveyance of the property to the current owner to allow him to get a clear title.
Second.
Is there any discussion? Yes, sir.
Possible cost of surveys and legal fees to date?
You want to make that as an amendment?
Yes, sir. I'll add that to it.
I'll second it.
Okay. Other discussion on either the motion or the amendment? Yes, ma'am.
I just want to clarify, you're saying that included in this that the person who's asking for the title will be paying?
Yes, ma'am.
For any and all legal fees, survey fees, and if we have to do anything with any underground?
No, it's just that legal fees to give clear title for that original request, which I really don't think we have a dollar figure, if I'm not mistaken. And the survey cost.
Okay, well, what if we have any underground issues?
It's inside the building.
Okay.
It's inside the building.
Okay,
everybody clear on that?
Your motion includes sale at fair market value.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. Any other discussion? Okay, all in favor of the amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Now we're going on a vote on the main motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any against? Motion passes. So,
next
on item B, award of a contract to Southeast Sports and Play in the amount of $62,000 to replace the floor in the gymnasium with offsetting PRD grant of $33,000. Capital Projects Fund, page 23, line 62, Recreation Department Maintenance, $62,000 with $13,000 offset of the PARD grant. Is there a motion? Any discussion?
My recollection, a year or so in the budget, we had $125,000 for floor replacement. Is that correct?
No.
Thank
you.
Any other discussion? There being none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any against? Motion passes. Item C, award of a 3-year rental contract to, who is this? Novatime for time and attendance software and hardware with the first year cost of $14,694. Capital Projects Fund, General Government, Capital Outlay, page 22, line 27, $28,000. So it's coming in under budget. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second? Any discussion?
Can I get what this is for? What is update for? Is it a time clock?
Yeah, there's a
biometric time clock. Your packet.
We're using time cards now.
Okay.
The 21st century.
Stone tablets go away.
And it should be noted we're renting instead of buying so that we can reduce our costs for upkeep and also stay up to date with the technology that's going to change.
So we're coming forward since 1953?
Any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any against? Motion passes. D, consideration of change order from IPW Construction Group, LLC, in amount of $51,450 for additional existing utility survey and location work for phase 2 drainage project. Is there a motion to?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
I think we get some surveyors here,
yes.
Engineers who might try to explain this a little bit better for everybody.
Yes, would you please come up?
Yes.
We'd like to invite you up to the podium, please, and state your name.
Five and
not surveyors, engineers.
5 and 6 at the same time, is that?
Can they do both?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah. We only know 5 and 6. You know, D&E.
So David Stevens and Jason Mummer are the engineers at M.
and administration of phase two drainage. In your packets, you have the letter of recommendation for both change orders approved by them, and they'll come and explain what those change orders are about in more technical, but not too technical terms.
I won't be too technical. In fact, Jason is going to pretty much handle that. This is his project, and he's going to tell you what we've had to do on this project with utility locates and how we try to avoid conflicts with all the other utilities by lowering our lines to expedite the project to be finished. Okay? Go ahead, Jason.
Just as a quick update.
Jason, would you mind going to the mic? Sure. That way the recording picks up your voice.
Just as a quick update, you've driven down to that end and seen they're working their way down Palm Boulevard now. They crossed in front of the Citadel Beach House, working past 48th. Essentially, this area has all been installed. 45th and 46th Avenue have active drainage now. Of course, now it's not raining, which is good and bad. So you can't see the fruits of our efforts yet, but one day it will. The change order on the surveying request, part of the requirement on the project was because we are sort of the last people going through, there are water and sewer, which are pretty easily identifiable. We also got power, phone and cable that are strung quite literally everywhere. So part of the requirement was for the contractor to go through, visually locate these items. You can get a PUPS call, but there is a window for those markings you see on the ground. So in order to know vertically where they were, to see if they're in conflict with our pipes, as well as horizontally to make sure something kind of meander into it, they were required to do this for the project. They have completed all of that work for the entire project. This request is, when they got done, realized that there were a number of utilities, primarily power and, phone power and cable. They were not previously identified or showed up after, in some cases, we had one locate called in that didn't get marked. They got closer, called in their updates, it showed up. So the 33 additional locates are a result of that. They're items that didn't show up on original surveys or the first pass, generally. Most of them ended up being concentrated after we had a chance to go through it with the contractor, kind of in the Wild Dunes area. There were a few out here on Palm, just crossings, that sort of thing.
A great example of that was today. We dug down, we had a 4-inch AT&T line, and another line, so we were laying the pipe between, when we dug down, there's a coax cable line that nobody identified that runs parallel with our pipe. Those are the type change orders we're having. This is what this is about. Just unbeknownst lines that were not on the locates maps. And then as soon as they locate them, they'll come out and locate them the whole way. So we have to go back and redo to make sure we can make our pipe work.
Fortunately, that one doesn't appear to be, the contractor's just gonna kind of work it out of the way as he works along. So kind of dodge that there. How this relates to the other change order, with those vertical locates, we did have conflicts with existing utilities. This is not water and sewer. Those were knew about, could identify, and were accounted for. These are things like power lines, which are buried underground. It's conflicts back on 52nd. There are some, I believe these are fiber or cable, that are bored under Palm that we have to cross. There's an additional power line over in here. Basically, those would need to be reboard under the road. And in the case of the power, you have to go, it's not simply a matter of if you cut your coaxial cable leading to your house, Comcast or whoever can come in, splice the piece together. These are conduits, usually about 2 or 3 inches in diameter.
In the case of the power, those are obviously carrying active lines that are hooked to the end of transformers, so they're not really that flexible. You try and tell the contractor, please don't step on this or hit it or pull it, because if you break it, it's bad. So basically, the second change order is the more straightforward solution would be to go ahead and lower the lines. And that change order also covers the remaining bulk of the project. So that is, we have everything mapped out now. We know where everything is, knock on wood. But have been able to make the adjustments to get under them. That way we don't have to pay additional costs for boring. You're probably talking 100-foot bore, and it's a couple hundred dollars a foot to bore. And then you would also run you have to turn the power off when they do this, and some of that sort of stuff.
Chance of hitting another utility while you're boring there.
Yeah.
To increase your costs.
So since we know where everything is, we are the last ones going in. That change order would cover the cost to go ahead and lower those, and the contractor can just go. And they have been. We are also beginning to get into smaller pipe sections. The stuff that we're laying at first was the big 54, 48-inch. I think it's something like 8,000 pounds, an 8-foot section, give or take. So as you shrink, you lose about 1,500 pounds every 6 inches of diameter. So that'll speed up because they're not having to work quite as hard to lift that stuff into place. So I don't know if you noticed, they have been moving much quicker, getting smaller and shallower. So that's kind of the explanation on the two change orders together.
Okay. Okay, we're going to pop quiz now.
I hope that wasn't too technical.
Well, the one nice thing is the pipe is getting smaller. And all our 54 and 48 has been laid. Once we get past, was it 49?
Once we get between 49th and 50th,
it goes down to 36, which really goes quick, and your smaller pipe on the avenues really goes quick.
Does anybody have any questions or comments for this gentleman?
Yes, sir. I know we're talking about these change orders, but just for our own purposes, 47th, the Settle Beach Club, and 48th, are those pipes engineered should the day come they want to pay for engineering and tie-in?
Yes. The system was designed...
At their cost?
At their cost.
The system was designed to handle their stormwater.
Okay.
In fact, 48th Avenue has already contracted with us to design it so they can figure out how much it's going to cost them. The Citadel is supposed to be coming on too. I've talked to them about a month ago, and they're trying to get the Alumni Association to pay for the design, and then they'll work the construction in their budgets. So it appears they're coming online. But our system, when we originally designed it, did include them in our design.
We knew once they
I was
had,
off the subject,
available
I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
So what is our anticipated completion date at the moment? I mean, it keeps,
Right now, they're looking at the light at the end of the pipe, the second week of mid-December to be
December.
Done with all the avenues. I want to say they'll be down, plan to be down on 52nd. What they'll do is the main crew that's working here, their plan is once they get towards 49th, the main crew will continue down and work down 52nd with a second crew to come and work those avenues. The reason they can't do it now is there's just nowhere, they have to dewater. You've seen how wet the ground is. There's nowhere to put that dewatering. When they pump the water out of the ground, it needs a place to go, and we can't just throw it over the dunes.
So the second crew is not working.
So they can't get in there until they have a place to stick that hose.
And are y'all working on Saturdays?
No, because we were thinking about coming back and bringing Saturdays back after the summer.
Well,
Saturday is great, except when you run this type of equipment and people go on the beach even now. We still got a lot of parking out there.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. No, I just...
Yes, sir. For council's benefit, and it's not directed at your work, just the realities, what was the original completion date estimated?
End of September.
Yeah, I think originally it was even prior to that, because we were naive enough to think that maybe it could be done before the season started.
Yeah.
Let's use Memorial Day as an example.
Sometime in the spring, I'd have to go back and look.
I think it was the spring.
Oh, you are right.
So, so the point being for council, and we all know this personally on any construction project, we can assume two things, right? It's going to take longer, and it's going to be over budget, or we're going to eat up contingencies.
Right.
And that's not directed at you necessarily. It's a fact of life.
Right.
But as we consider other revenue streams and that this is a priority for the island, drainage issues, this is one to remember, duration and cost.
Right.
Because they're tied together.
Any other comments?
No.
Okay. All in favor of both? We have motions on both of these, right?
We have D.
Is there a motion to combine D and E for consideration at the same time? Yes?
We already had a motion.
Yeah, you would have to withdraw the original motion and second, and then make another motion.
Just hang on. Everything's fine. Just Rick, calm down. Okay. All in favor of the motion for item D? Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any against? No. Is there a motion to approve item E, consideration of a change order from IPW Construction Group, LLC, in amount of $69,739.50 for required depth adjustments to the drainage line running down Palm Boulevard to the pond within Wild Dunes?
So moved.
And to the lines on 46th, 49th, 51st, and 52nd Avenues for Phase 2 drainage project.
Still so moved.
Is there a second? Is there any discussion?
It's budgeted,
right?
Yes. It would be covered under the contingency.
Yeah, it's covered.
$51.69 don't look bad until you add them up.
Right.
Okay, any other comments, discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any against? None. Motion passes. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
We're going to item F, discussion of parking rates and dates on Front Beach. Now, this is not intended to be a full-fledged budget worksheet item. It's just come up from a couple of businesses on the Front Beach about the parking rates and when the dates of the meters. They seem to be having some complaints about it. But it's a double-edged sword. At first, some of the merchants wanted extended because of safety issues, and now some merchants were complaining by saying that the local residents are having to pay for parking all the way up to, it's all the way up to Halloween now, is it not, Kim?
Correct, October 31st.
October 31st, and it used to be like...
The connector run, we would pull them down on Sunday.
Right.
So it was extended 2 weeks in the spring and 2 weeks
it's in the fall.
Correct.
However, residents do pay. When that decision was made, the decision was also made to allow residents who have a decal, either a residential decal or a Walden sticker in their car to pay for to park for free in the municipal lots, not on the on-street.
Right, in the municipal lots. Well, we just a couple of us just got some complaints, and this is set up as a discussion, so... Does anybody have any thoughts or anything they'd like to say about it?
Are we losing money on parking?
Well,
yes.
Now,
so
I've probably...
Like we've reduced our revenues, not...
Yes.
Right.
We know that.
Everybody's philosophy is probably different. And the big picture of this, to me, is... it's not so much the revenue stream in this one... line item in the budget. It's the activity.
Hospitality's up.
Hospitality's up, and I'm concerned about the activity. How much activity? Activity has gone up, which is good, which means there's less in the neighborhoods. But the rates are not that much of a concern to me as much as the activity. So
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
This conversation, and understand we'll get deeper into it in budget time, there's the question of activity, and we say that we had a vision that we want to help inspire more activity at the beach and more turnover and help businesses, and we thought that the rates that we charged would help do that. We also, I know Councilman Kinghorn has been adamant that we keep track of our revenues, wisely so. We should have entertained the discussion if we were to increase the rate by double, for example, just as hypothetical. That would obviously, if the transaction stayed the same, that would double our revenues. It's pretty low right now. It's just a consideration, I think, for the future in terms of evaluating what we're charging. We went from daily to hourly, and we selected an hourly rate that we thought was fair. We should consider whether or not, if the activity is what we want, hourly is probably the way to get there. The rate is probably the lever we can pull to get the revenue that we want.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
To that point, I decided to look. I was just curious what Folly Beach did. You know, what are the comparable communities doing? Theirs is an $8 daily fee. There's two free parking places near the pier. There's the off-street parking that they still have. Yeah, the question here, activity is up, so is the economy. There's no direct correlation that we can prove that activity is having any impact at all on hospitality rates. So, you know, the reality is we have a lot of residential parking available if somebody wants to walk 100 yards. And to Councilman Moy's point, you know, we're down $100,000 already or plus from prior year. You know, why would we want to consider anything that drives that number deeper at this point without fully understanding it? I had asked, and I don't think it's practical or possible to do, if you looked at the hospitality rates of the various establishments there, what they're contributing, can you come to any correlation that says this increase in activity has actually had an impact? Or are we just providing cheaper parking for people to go down to the beach and hang out? So I think it's a very, very slippery slope. I agree with Councilman Moy and Kinghorn. We really need to look at these parking rates.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. I'd like to remind the chairman, and by doing so, all the new members of council, that last year during our budgeting process, he was very nice in his compliment that I had suggested, A, we go to the kiosk as opposed to a outsourced contractor, and B, we had increased the rates modestly and extended it 2 weeks. The result of that, from a ways and means perspective, was very positive, and I appreciate that compliment that was made in public. We reversed that, this council, and not only has the revenue side dropped, and if it's increased in numbers, then we have the lost cost or lost value data. If we're going to run a parking lot, we run a parking lot to generate revenue. If we don't want to run a parking lot, let's get out of the parking lot business. We all know that 90% of the people that use that parking lot are coming from off island. If we want to keep our property taxes low, if we want to plan for future projects for drainage, much less sewer, we've got to generate raving savings and revenue. And this is such an easy, straightforward way to do it. We reversed it this year. You've seen the consequence. I don't see any reason why we wouldn't go back to what it was. And I think when we did that, if you looked at other rates, other facilities were increasing their rates,
since
not
then,
lowering them.
That's right.
No, prior to that, and since then again.
But even down
now,
control.
You talk about a strong economy, then that's an opportunity where you want to capture that revenue. So if we don't do it now, and if we do it the next budget cycle, I would hope we would change it at least to where it was.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
I just have one question, and I don't know how it works. So if somebody parks in the municipal lot, and they put in for 3 hours or whatever, and they stay for five, and they get a parking ticket.
Correct.
And how much is that?
I believe that one is a
25
per meter violation.
And so
correct.
Where does that revenue go? Like what line?
Into the general fund, court revenues.
Court revenues. So is that number up? So I'm wondering if it doesn't really almost come
can't
out.
Can't be 100 grand.
No? I just,
We don't have a full analysis of it. That's a good point. We need to look at all of it.
I'm just kind
of
curious.
It's a really good point. We need to look at all of it.
To that point,
yeah.
I think we would all much rather, we would still be generating that revenue, presumably,
right.
By increasing the hourly rate.
I'm not saying that I want that to happen to people.
Sure.
But
just want to interject, we don't want to
generate revenue via parking.
Yes.
No, I'm not saying that's all, but, I mean, I'm just wondering the offset in the same parking lot.
Yes, Sandy.
And what we did was we have two different rates, one for the street and one for the lot.
Right.
So, that I didn't understand, but the other part of it is the gates. Is there a problem with when we stop doing it? We now have parking year round, right? I mean, there's no time where there is no parking fees, is there?
Yes.
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 Big swath of the winter.
So after October 31st, it's free parking for anybody until March 1st, where the kiosks are on Clock Harbor.
So what's the problem?
That was extended 2 weeks, is what we did.
There is no problem, except our rates are low.
What's the problem? I mean, we've got an extended time, we've got pretty low, low rates compared to everybody else. So I'm not sure what the complaint is.
Some of the front beach on business owners were getting complaints from residents who are trying to go there and still have to pay.
Almost trying to walk from the main lot to.
Yeah, basically, yeah. They may not be aware of it, and, but, they were just, people were going up there for lunch and still having to pay for parking to go to lunch.
Because, and what are the dates of fall?
So the city starts charging for parking both on street and on the lots on March, between March 1st and October 31st.
So you've got another couple of.
Two.
And I think that's the reason why that happened when we were analyzing activity down at Front Beach. It was fairly, it was fairly popular during those times of hours. So in looking for additional revenue, council decided to extend that to, in order to capture additional revenue.
Is there, any way from the, asking the police chief if there's any way to, measure how much those revenues are in October for the last 2 weeks?
We can pull together a report.
And also in March. That's the main, complaint I've got, is that the locals are saying, you know, why don't you, I'm open to changing the rates, but I'm also open to compromise. I would like to see some people maybe consider, dropping those last
2 weeks.
2 weeks in October and the first 2 weeks in March.
So you just found another way to reduce our revenue.
Hey, go up $1.50 on our parking. I'm just,
well, they can't just walk from the municipal office.
Of course they can.
Some of these guys have been going to a certain establishment for 40, 50 years.
Yeah, maybe they need to walk more.
They're veterans. They're a lot of them old veterans. And they don't want their own limited income.
Not the problem we're solving, though.
When we have a small group, a defined group of folks that need help with this, then can we not find a way to give them a special pass or something they put in there?
It's called a handicap placard.
That allows them to do that. And have parking year-round. I don't understand why we stop parking. I mean, if it's residents, if they have a resident sticker, then they have free parking, whether it be out in the lot or on the street. I think that we can deal with the folks that we want to help without passing a whole thing that affects everybody.
It's just a small adjustment. We really need to look at the data. We really do.
Just look at the data.
We'll have data at the end of October, daily data.
See how much we're collecting. You know, and then.
We're not collecting.
As opposed to what it costs to service that, about the wages of the service officers.
I don't think that.
If it's not a whole lot of money.
Service officers if we weren't.
Yeah, but if it's not a whole lot of money, I mean, there is such a thing known in community as goodwill. You know, that people think you're doing the right thing for them.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, ma'am.
So once, right now we're enforcing from 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. So one consideration that you could take would be we could bump that up during the month of October to 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
to just do enforcement. We could do that internally. You know, I'd have to look at the signs and see what they say on that, but that's an option as well instead of cutting out your last 2 weeks of October.
That's a very good idea. Thank you very much. Very good. Any other discussion on this?
Does this need to go to committee?
Yeah, it probably needs to go to
Real property,
and we can wrestle over it there. About the only thing missing from this agenda is dogs. Oh, who said that?
I'll let those out.
Is there any assignment that you want to give staff to so that we have some documentation?
Yeah, for November, I'd like to say revenues versus direct and indirect expenses for those last 2 weeks of October and first 2 weeks in March.
Street and lot?
Just street.
Typically, we do not uncover the meters until April the 2nd. So it, this season, we went March 1st by council's direction. So,
right, I know.
So you know that whole time frame.
I just want to make sure if it's worth the revenue that we're generating, because it's not helping out with a goodwill. Any other discussion on this issue?
Well, yeah, I would say before we react to some individual comments with regards to the cause and effect of the business community, we're going to collect data. We need to service the entire business community and see if there's consensus one way or the other. This is on the agenda. I don't see a lot of people from Front Beach here. So let's collect totality of data. And if you're going to do that, this notion that we're funneling people into Front Beach, as you know, I'm now the broken record, is faulty. And there's probably some ways you could collect some data to figure that out. Do we have as much trash down off the beach? Are there fewer or more parking tickets down there? Because we all know the population growth is across the connector. And so they're filling in the neighborhoods as well as this parking lot. And we can't make a broad statement and saying, oh, we're now bringing all of those people to that parking lot, because I do not believe that's the case.
I don't either. I don't think anybody's ever said that, actually. Okay, any other discussion? Okay, the next issue is discussion of undergrounding power lines. And I think Carol had brought this up, wanted to discuss this.
Right. So after our incidents in the last 10 days with three different power lines, I think, got hit, I thought we should really take a deep dive into finding out what would be involved in undergrounding some of our power lines, maybe picking an area that we want to try and tackle that would be a priority. I don't know how we decide that, but maybe as a group. I know SCE&G has an offset. We should be taking advantage of that, which Ted has said for years. But it really was such a tough couple of weeks with the power out for people, and threw everything into chaos down at Wild Dunes when that line got hit. And I just started thinking, like, how ironic it was that we call them telephone poles. And, like, none of us even use phone lines anymore. You know, we all have our phones here, but we're still stuck with, like, the 1955 telephone poles.
Is that a motion?
We're dealing with. Well, I don't know. I'm just wondering. I wanted to discuss it. I don't really. It's a discussion. I haven't.
So, Carol, by way of background, and Jimmy and Sandy will recall this, we looked at this the last 2 years in Public Works and had SCE&G in. It's an exorbitant cost. They have all kinds of reasons not to do it. Obviously, they're not in the best financial position right now.
Right.
In fact, we might be in a better financial position.
True.
So it's a long pole in the tent. It's worthy of consideration. I mean, even if you look at Palm Boulevard from about 9th down to 5th, we've got telephone poles out in the marsh. Imagine how exposed they are.
Right.
But if we think water and sewer is complicated, we're in the same boat. Not to say we shouldn't do it, but it's a huge challenge.
Okay.
It's very expensive, but when we did the Front Beach streetlights, Jimmy was a councilman then. He looked into it, and I was pushing that really hard, and he found the money from SCE&G. They matched the cost down there, plus they're going to replace any damaged equipment and poles down there if they get blown over. All we have to do, we just have to pay the electric bill. It was about 130 some thousand, Debbie, something like that.
I think because it was 69,000 of the non-standard service money got used.
But it is possible, and it's just very, very expensive.
Chair?
I just want to remember. Yes, sir.
So just as normal. The reality is we can't do everything we want to do at the millage rates that we have, right? So that's reality. We had $820,000 budgeted from public utilities fees that we move into the general fund to fund everything that is not public utilities, right? I'd suggest if we're serious about it, then we have a real plan for it that says some percentage of that gets put into something that is designated, and I think to Councilman Rice's point, I think she's absolutely correct. You can't do this whole thing at once. You've got to pick spot areas that you might want to test this, find out what it would really cost, have a multi-year plan to do it and do it in a very organized, correct way, and go after the public monies that are available on a 50-50 sharing basis. And frankly, I would recommend that we move it back to committee, get serious about it, and come up with a plan.
Okay.
But we can't trade off drainage for underground utility lines. That is not an option that we have.
I understand that.
I think you're correct, by the way.
You know, after last week, where we had
45th added, bam.
And then the Harris Teeter in front, you know.
People get mad at me because I say constantly, I don't know if they actually get mad. A success measure for this council and this city is not keeping your tax rates the same as they were years ago. That's just not a success rate. We've got to look at what's ahead and have a viable plan that's affordable for the residents in the city to go act on.
Yes, ma'am.
Chairman, as it goes back to committee, I would suggest that we go through the months of meetings that we had and all of the information that SENG gave us, because that is a plethora of information that instead of having to redo the whole thing, it would give us all an idea of what they reported to us and how much it was going to cost.
The planning's been involved, correct?
For years, we put $75,000 into the budget. This is a placeholder, which would have been nothing, basically. But it was saying, we know there's the problem and we know we need to look forward. But there was a plan, there was cost.
Sure.
So, you know, in that 5 years difference, of course, it would be more expensive, but at least everybody could see what they said and what they thought it would take.
Yeah, it's worth a study. Anybody else have any comments? Yes, sir.
If I may, Carol, for clarification, the match you referenced is only $75,000. It's each year. It continues for 5 years, and that's reduced if we don't use it. And that's limited to lighting, is my recollection. So that's something we could utilize, but it's for another focus and activity.
If they don't go broke.
The non-standard service includes electrical underground.
Well, like I said, for $75,000, what are we going to get?
Yes. However, the latest estimate that we received back when the Public Works Committee was evaluating this project, it was roughly $12 million to undergrounding of the lines between Region Lit and 14th Avenue. Between 14th and 21st Avenue, it's a $6 million project. So that would not be enough to be able to use that fund. However, SENG recommended and submitted a list of smaller projects that the city could look into. However, there's no cost estimates for that. So at that point, it was not a priority. We didn't really do anything with it. This year, the budget does not include any matching funds, but if it is the will of council, we can start looking at that list of smaller projects, create a priority list, maybe get some estimates, and see if it's viable to budget in Councilmember Bell said, in phases. That would be my recommendation. I think the big project, it's too big.
Yeah.
At this point, but we can start looking at smaller projects. And you all recall one of the projects that we had talked about was related to the marina in 41st Avenue as part of the marina redevelopment. failed, so we're kind of, you know, getting together and figuring out what's going to be done with that plan. But that's another option, looking at that smaller project.
Any other discussion on this matter?
Just one more.
Yes, sir.
So this is not the first storm that we've had electrical by any means, and we've had them down many times. And when I was on council, the council went through and voted to increase the franchise fee up to 5%, from 3% to 5%. It was a nearly 67% increase. It generated an extra over $400,000 a year to the budget. It was a tax. It was an increase in tax, and the majority of council, I didn't support it, but my motion at that time was to take the additional percentage that was going up and apply it to a sinking fund that we could put all the wires underground. That was having foresight, but at that time nobody agreed with me. And now we're in a position now where, hey, wait, let's try to do this what I thought about almost 6 years ago. So I think it's a great idea, and I think that's the first place we have to look to as a revenue source, is taking those funds that increase on the residents and start applying it to a sinking fund, because it actually goes to it. So take that SC&G franchise fee and put it towards a sinking fund to put the wires on the ground. I can imagine how much money we'd have in the coffers right now and start working from breaching it to it. But I'm glad to see you guys are starting to realize what should have been done a long time ago.
That's why we're elected.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. As what Councilman Bell said, I think the most pressing need we have right now is drainage. And everywhere, I think Desiree was at a meeting last night across Charleston, the tri-county areas, drainage. And I think the Planning Commission is working on a project right now. When you talk about $12 million, I mean, it's going to be a tax increase when it comes to drainage. I know Donnie's glad to hear that phase two getting done so we don't have to put pumps down there anymore, but drainage is a major problem that I think is more important than the power poles.
Yes, sir. Ma'am.
And I think this is, we're looking for ways to put a sinking fund. We need to start doing that for drainage right now, because we're never going to have a $12 million, $50 million lump sum to come. And also, if we get these reports back and we know there's going to have to be a tax increase, don't make it a 5% tax increase. Start doing an implementation of that. This amount will be put into the sinking fund for drainage. So let's don't wait until our backs are against the wall where it has to be a large fee, which most of our residents may or may not be able to handle.
Any other comments?
I just have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
So do y'all want me to look at the smaller projects in Public Works where we could maybe bury some smaller areas and use
no harm.
That'd be helpful. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
That'd be good.
Okay. So, and use the $75,000 match. Okay.
Yeah, any other comments or thoughts on this?
This year we did not include.
Right. No, I mean, it would be for.
Just get ahead of it.
Okay.
Get ahead of it. Exactly.
All right. Thank you for your comments and input. Miscellaneous business is none. Next meeting date will be 5 p.m. Tuesday, November 27th, 2018. And that's, you know, that's a double meeting, which we all love so much. We'll have a back-to-back Ways and Means and then City Council meeting.
Just a question. This printout says November 20th.
No, it's the 27th.
27th.
This meeting was changed.
No.
The date was changed. Minutes before the meeting starts.
Okay, thank you.
So wait, when is it?
27.
November 20th is 2 days before Thanksgiving, so the Ways and Means meeting will be held with City Council on the 27th.
Bring turkey sandwiches.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So fast.
You need to call Julie on.
Okay.